Sorry, my mic wasn't on. Good morning. There you go. That's better. Glad that everyone here could be here this morning. You know, we have the snow coming later, but it's not here yet, so we have a beautiful day today. We're enjoying having time in the Lord's house. Just want to go over a couple announcements with you guys. Today's flowers have been placed by Don Hackett in loving memory of his parents, Joseph Hackett Sr. and Ruth Anna Hackett, as well as brother and sister-in-law, Joseph Hackett Jr. and Gene Hackett, and nephew Joseph Hackett III. This week, we have a lot of a handful of different things happening. Starting with today, we're excited to have our mission spotlight. In just a little bit, we're going to have Mitch have an opportunity to come up and share with us. He's from Chosen People. I'll talk a little bit about more about him later. But we are also holding a mission spotlight for him. So there's a special offering plate in the back labeled Mission Spotlight, or you can designate your giving towards him. And we're also going to be having a special Sunday school class where he's going to be sharing more about his ministry there with Chosen People. So we're going to have the adult Sunday school class all together in the big room over in the fellowship hall for that. We're excited about having that as well. Tomorrow, ladies and men's Bible studies with Pastor and Betty's class has been canceled for this week. So we're not going to be doing it. And then this Wednesday, we're also having our annual business meeting. It'll be at 7 p.m., and it'll be this Wednesday. We also, our youth group, are going to snow camp, and there was an announcement made last week about looking for some financial assistance for some of the teens who couldn't get there. So if anyone is interested in being a part of that, I'd ask that you talk directly with Eric and bring everything to him for that, if you would like to be involved with helping with that. That's all my announcements, but now we're going to be having one extra announcement.
Today, we have one motion that's going to be presented, so I'm going to present that, just let you know what that motion is going to be. So this will be the second reading of the motion. There's a motion that a pulpit committee be appointed by the combined deacon and trustee boards to call a full-time associate pastor of family ministries as per Article 7, Section 1 of the Constitution of the Quinton Baptist Church. That is all.
Let's open our service up in a word of prayer. God, we thank you and we praise you for what a wonderful and awesome God that you are. God, we pray that as we worship you this morning, that it would just be something that is honoring to you, that it would just be something encouraging to us, and we'd be able to take this with us throughout this week. I pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Well, let's be reminded of these verses as we sing our first song together. Please stand.
With faith and power, with grace, with trust. the cross, where love and mercy meet, as the Son of God is stricken, then see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen. And as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from his grave, his victory march continues till the day, every eye and heart shall see him. So Spirit, come with strength in every side, give grace for every hurdle, that we may rise to win the prize of a serving good and faithful. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear their call and hunger for the day when Christ we stand in glory. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, shine, for the risen sun. Lift your eyes, we are his radiant bride. Arise, O church, arise.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong
seated.
And let's pray. Lord, we praise you
for your great name. We praise you that your word says that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And Lord, we have the opportunity right now to declare that here during our service, that you are Lord, that you are the God of creation, the one who, with your word, created all things. And Lord, we praise you that that word became flesh, that Jesus came into this world to rescue us from our sin. And Lord, it's in his name that we pray today. It's in his name that we bring forward these requests before you. Lord, I do pray for Patsy Fox. Lord, we praise you that her procedure went well for her pacemaker. Lord, we do just pray for healing for her. Lord, we pray for Albert Irizarry. Lord, we praise you that his surgery went well. And Lord, we do just pray for recovering for him. Lord, for just comfort for him during this time as he just goes through all these different things. And Lord, we pray for any follow-up appointments that he has, that would all go well. Lord, we pray for Terry Woodside, Lord, as she has her upcoming procedure that's going to be coming up in a little over a week now, Lord, as she starts this radiation. Lord, we do just pray for her that everything would go well with that. Lord, we just pray for comfort in the meantime, Lord, as she awaits that time. Lord, we pray for Fred Peterson. Lord, we know that he's home now and he's recovering. Lord, we do just pray for complete healing for him. We pray for him in the midst of all the pain and discomfort that he's going through, that you would just be there for him. Lord, we pray for Betty Brennan, Lord, as she awaits for scan results. Lord, we pray for Doris Bierman, Lord, as she's just had these aneurysms and different things with meeting with doctors. Lord, would you just pray just for upcoming meetings, Lord, that you would give wisdom and guidance to her to know exactly what to do for them. Lord, we do just pray for the family of Brenda Humes and Margie Craven, Lord, as they mourn the passing of their mother. Lord, we pray that you would just be the God of all comfort in that situation, Lord, that you would surround them with your love and your mercy, that you would just be there to be gracious upon them, Lord, as they just go through this difficult time. Lord, we pray for John Croce's brother, Joe, Lord, as he just had a stroke a little over a week ago. We praise you that he's improving, that he's in rehab, Lord. We just pray for complete healing for him. Lord, we pray for Susan Sayers, Lord, as she's just in the hospital awaiting tests, and I know that there's been some just complications with trying to get some of those tests. Lord, we do just pray that you would take care of Susan, Lord, that you would protect her, that you'd help the doctors to be able to do the tests that they need to do to figure out exactly what's going on so that they can treat her. And Lord, I do just pray that in the meantime that you would surround her with your love and your comfort, Lord. I know that she's just going through a lot, Lord, and Lord, I just pray that you would be there to comfort her. Lord, we do as well pray for Norma Simpson, Lord, as she has a fracture over her right eye, Lord. We do just pray she has appointments with doctors, Lord, to figure out exactly what to do, what the next steps are, Lord. We do just pray that those would go well. And Lord, we do ultimately just pray for complete healing for her. Lord, we pray that you would just bring her to healing. Lord, we pray for all those who are not feeling well right now, Lord, and I know that there's just a lot of sicknesses floating around, Lord. We do just pray that people would be healthy, that anyone who is sick would get healthier again, Lord, that you would just restore their body. And Lord, we do just pray that this things wouldn't spread, that people would be able to remain healthy. Lord, we do pray this morning for everyone in California, Lord, as they're still dealing with the effects of these wildfires. Lord, we do just pray that they can get everything completely under control. And Lord, I do just pray just for the people and families whose houses have been destroyed, whose lives have entirely been uprooted. Lord, we do just pray that you would just be gracious to them, Lord, provide for them. Lord, we do just pray that that they'd be able to get everything under control so that things wouldn't keep spreading. And Lord, we do just pray for the lives who were impacted by that. And Lord, we do pray for our missionaries of the month, Lord. We pray for the Campbells, Lord. We pray that you'd bless them in their ministry. And Lord, we also pray this morning just for Mitch and Mitch Glazier and for Chosen People Ministry, Lord, as we're going to have an opportunity to talk with them, hear from them a little bit today. Lord, we just praise you for their ministry. And Lord, we pray that you would bless their ministry to the Jewish community in New York and all around the world, Lord. I know that they're all over the place. And Lord, we do just pray that you would just strengthen them, that you would empower them with your spirit, Lord, that your spirit would go before them and that they would impact individual lives. And Lord, we do as well pray for Israel right now, Lord, as they're supposedly having hostages be released, Lord, and I do just pray that all of that would be successful, that it would go well. And Lord, we do just pray for peace, Lord, in the Middle East. There's just a lot of things happening, Lord. We pray that you would just be the God of peace in that situation, Lord, that you would work in the hearts and minds of leaders, Lord. We know that you're the one who is in control of kings and rulers, and Lord, we do just pray that you would guide that into a place of peace for Israel and for those around them. And Lord, in that situation, we do as well pray for the innocent lives. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering in that scenario. Lord, we do just pray that you would be just the God who comes alongside them and is their shelter, is their fortress, is their shield. And Lord, as we continue the service, Lord, as we continue our time now of worshiping you, Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be directed towards you, that we would look to praise you this morning, that we'd look to make your name great. Lord, I pray that your name would be lifted up this morning. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Let's continue to worship in song, and as we sing, children in first through third are dismissed for youth church. Please stand.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May story of Christ and his love, tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove through every moment you live.
Silver and my gold, not a mine.
Please be seated.
If you would turn in your Bibles to Romans 11, verses 33 through 36, I'll be reading Romans 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has ever been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Well, that distracted me a little bit. It is my pleasure now. We're going to be, in just a moment, I'm going to be inviting Mitch Glazier up to share a little bit for us this morning. Again, just by way of reminder, Mitch and his wife, Zahava, have been with Chosen People Ministry, and they've been connected with our church for years now. I think he said 30 years or so, quite some time now. So any of you who've been around the church for a while, he doesn't need much of an introduction for you guys. But just for everyone else, he works with Chosen People Ministry. He's going to be sharing our message this morning, and then he's going to be spending more time talking about the actual ministry of Chosen People and what they do during the Sunday school hour. So we'd invite all of you guys to stay and to hear about the exciting things that are happening with the ministry. I did also just want to say, by way of announcement, we have these brochures from Chosen People's Ministry that are in the back that we would encourage you guys to grab, and there's some information about the ministry there, and Mitch is going to share a little bit more about that, but I would encourage you, again, to grab that. There's also in the back a good number of books that are available for purchase, many of which Mitch has written himself, so we'd encourage you to go back and take a look at there after the service, and just take a look and peruse some of those books. We're going to actually have a video real quick about Chosen People, and then I'd invite Mitch up.
In 1892, Rabbi Leopold Cohen passed an open door to a church on the Lower East Side of Manhattan and heard someone preaching the gospel in Yiddish, the language of his Jewish Hungarian homeland. After reading the New Testament he received from the young Jewish preacher, Rabbi Cohen gave his life to Jesus and became deeply burdened for the salvation of his fellow Jewish people. This was the birth of Chosen People Ministries. Rabbi Cohen began reaching out to the tens of thousands of poor Eastern European Jewish immigrants. Under his inspired leadership, the mission he founded provided food and clothing, taught English and sewing classes, offered medical care, and shared the good news of Jesus the Messiah. Rabbi Cohen understood the importance of not only sharing the gospel with words, but also by showing the love of Jesus to his chosen people. As a result, many Jewish people came to faith. Headquartered in the heart of New York City, which has the highest concentration of Jewish people in the world, Chosen People Ministries also ministers in over 20 cities throughout North America. Although our world has changed since the days of Leopold Cohen, our mission statement remains the same. Our mission is to pray for, evangelize, disciple, and serve Jewish people everywhere, and help fellow believers do the same. Thank you for your partnership, and we look forward to the next season of our ministry and working together with you to reach the Jewish people with the gospel.
Everybody okay? No snow yet? But what do we care? I mean, we've had snow our whole lives, you know. Everybody else makes a big deal out of it. You know, this is not exactly Delray Beach, you know. So, forgive me if you saw me on my phone. I was not doing my email. We have Emily Damari, Romy Gonin, and Doron Steinbrecher, who are now in the hands of the, actually now in the hands of the Red Cross. And that's what I was hoping for. And they'll be passed along to the Israelis in sometime in a little later. We also know that probably 100 criminals, mostly, will be released from Israeli prisons, and they will go back to their families. And some of them, of course, inevitably, will go back to being terrorists. And that's the way this thing goes. There's no easy solution. Everybody always wants me to say, so how do we solve the problems in the Middle East? They're asking me, you know. I have a lot to say about all of this. It's a great burden on my heart. And I just got back from Israel a few days ago. And so I was there checking on the staff. And, you know, the Lord enabled me to identify with our staff. We have about 25, 30 staff members there. And so my last night there, of course, the Houthis gave us a wake up at about 3 a.m. And so it was nice meeting new Israeli friends in a bomb shelter. And so it is troubled. It's complicated. And lots of people have died on both sides. But we didn't start it, honestly. And we're not going to get to finish it. And that's the way it goes. And how do we feel about innocent people being killed? Really? You know, particularly as believers. We're believers. We're not inhuman. Israelis are not inhuman. It's very difficult. So we pray that, you know, maybe there'll be an upswing with a new administration. I don't know. But I know this much, that Israel is at the center of God's plan for all humanity. And so Israel and the Jewish people, though we be just 15.5 million and about 7.6 million in Israel, even though we're small, we pack a lot of punch. I was talking with a friend of mine who reaches Muslims, and so we were talking about his ministry and our ministry, and I said, so what's the mood among the MBBs, you know, the Muslim believers? And he said, oh, they love Israel. I said, so they love Israel. He says, oh, absolutely. And I've met so many Muslims, former Muslims, who have come to Christ, who love Israel. And I said, then how about the other group? Well, the other group who have come to Christ, but they don't come from a Muslim background, are sketchy, because they were raised with probably supersessionism and replacement theology, and don't really have a great heart for Jewish people, many of them. But if they came from a Muslim background and got saved, then they were usually pro-Israel. So I said to my friend, I said, well, why do you think that is? He says, well, I asked one of these guys just a couple days ago. And he said, because we read the Bible. And, you know, that's interesting. Because we read the Bible. And so the Bible speaks a lot about Jewish people. In fact, I met another Muslim new believer, and he had Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, rallying cry of the Jewish people. He had it tattooed on his forearm in Hebrew. I said, that must be popular back where you live, you know. So the Bible does say a lot about Jewish people and about Israel. In fact, if you understand more about Israel, then I think you get to the heart of the biblical story. But even more so, as we look at these last days I don't know where you feel we are in the last days, but Peter declared it to be the last days in his first sermon in the book of Acts. So we know we're there. That's biblical. As to how far along in the last days we are, well, you know, they say two Jews, three opinions. I say three Christians, five opinions when it comes to this. You know? And so we don't know exactly where we are, but I can't help but think we're getting closer and closer. I really do. And I'm going to give you a few reasons for why I believe that today. So are you ready for the journey? We're going to answer the question today. Can there be peace in the Middle East? Let me answer that question quickly. The answer to that question is yes. Absolutely. It's a sure thing. Don't lose any sleep over it. There will be peace in the Middle East. And some of you who have not gone to Israel yet will get a free ticket from Jesus to go. Okay. So you don't have to save your money. But will there be peace in the Middle East? Of course. When the Prince of Peace reigns on his rightful throne in Jerusalem, everybody's going to be at peace, right? We live for that. We hope for that. I know some of you are really hoping for heaven. I'd like the first part, you know, that thousand-year part, you know. I've been to Israel. I picked out my fig tree, you know. So I'm looking forward to when the knowledge of the Lord fills the earth like the waters fill the sea. And there is real peace, not meager truces or not peace agreements that don't hold, but real peace, because the one who declares peace will be the one who rules and reigns and has the power to make peace. And that happened in our hearts somewhat, but it will happen here soon. So the real question I want to ask and maybe give a biblical response to is this question. Is the modern state of Israel the fulfillment of prophecy? Because if it is, then we're much closer than anybody thinks, right? And so I'm going to have a nice PowerPoint, but for those of you that are old-fashioned and have a Bible, you can look at Ezekiel chapter 36, and we're going to begin looking at a few passages and make our way through the text. So I say 22, and then immediately I don't stick to it. But let me ask you, there are really three questions that I think this solves. Three major conclusions, really. So if the modern state of Israel is the fulfillment of prophecy, which of course I'm going to argue is yes, if it is, then the existence of the modern state of Israel shows that God is faithful to his promises. Because he's the one that created the Jewish people, created the land of Israel, even picked out the geography in Genesis chapter 15, gave the boundaries, put the people in the land, took the people out of the land for disobedience, and will put the people back in the land. And so it shows that God is faithful to his promises. And if God keeps his promises to the Jewish people, then we know he'll keep his promises to the church. If he doesn't keep his promises to the Jewish people, that puts the church in a very bad situation. Secondly, the existence of the modern state of Israel shows us that the Bible should be taken seriously. A lot of people debate whether or not the Bible's the Word of God. I know you don't at this church. I don't as well. But there are a lot of people that need evidence to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And one of the greatest pieces of evidence that the Bible is true is the Jewish people and the land of Israel. You know, there was a great debate at the beginning of the Zionist movement in the 19th century that the Jews needed to get out of Eastern Europe because of persecution so quickly, so badly, including my grandparents, that there was a proposal on the table to send all the Jewish people in the persecuted countries in Europe to Uganda. So Uganda was one of the solutions that people came up with, serious solution for where the Jews don't belong in Uganda. There's nothing wrong with Uganda for Ugandans. But Jewish people belonged in Israel because God set the boundaries. He didn't say the Jewish people need to go to a land. God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and took him to that land and gave the boundaries. Third, the existence of the modern state of Israel is evidence that the return of the Lord is soon, because if the Jewish people are back in the land, then we know that the Lord is coming soon, and I'll show you why. Okay, so there are really three stages from my perspective on the fulfillment of this prophecy and promise. There are three. Number one is what we call a regathering in unbelief. A regathering in unbelief. And you see that in Ezekiel chapter 36, all through it. I'll look at verse 22, but if you'll see it all the way through all the way through the chapter. So let me start at verse 19. Maybe that'll be a little bit easier. So Ezekiel says, "Also I scattered them among the nations. They were dispersed throughout the lands. According to their ways and their deeds, I judged them. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned the holy name, because it was said of them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' yet they've come out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went." And so, to be truthful, the Jewish people did not keep the law. The Jewish people were under judgment for not keeping the law, Leviticus chapter 26, Deuteronomy chapter 28, and God cast them out of the land for their disobedience. And so the Jewish people then spread throughout different lands as they were dispersed, and continued, for the most part, that type of behavior. There were certain revivals under good kings in Israel, and there were certain seasons of more obedience, but for the most part, that is true. That is true. The Jewish people were kicked out of the land. A lot of times people, I think, misinterpret the promises of the prophets, and they apply the promises of the prophets to other people, like the church, and then sometimes people apply it to Americans. And last time I checked, we didn't have that kind of covenant with God. Because if we did, none of us would be living here. We would have been thrown out a long time ago. Unless you think there are more believers. I mean, what percentage of people need to be believers to stay in the land, you know? And so we are all sinful. We're all ungodly. We all tend towards disobedience. But God made the covenant with the Jewish people, and for good and for bad. There's a great scene in Fiddler on the Roof, where I get a lot of my theological positions. And if you remember, Reb Tevye was living in Anatevka, which was somewhere in Russia or Ukraine. And he was friendly with this Polish Ukrainian lieutenant. And he comes in one day to give him some bad news, and he's got a bottle of vodka with him. And he starts pouring Tevye some shots, because he wanted Tevye in a better mood for when he told him the good news. But Tevye knew that this was not going to be good. So Tevye kept pouring out the shots of vodka, you know, and was completely sober. And so he says, "So what's the news?" He says, "Well, don't take it personally, Tevye. Don't take it personally. But the Jews are going to be tossed out of Anatevka, and you're going to have to leave your homes. But you shouldn't take it personally." Huh? Right? And so Tevye says, "Okay," and walks away, and the lieutenant walks away, and Tevye then looks up to heaven, and is so Jewish. And he looks up to heaven, and he says, "Next time, choose somebody else." You know, it's a great line, because chosenness has never been a cause for arrogance or pride. Chosenness has always been a burden and a responsibility for Jewish people. And that comes right out of the Bible. And so, verse 22. I'm moving us along. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord your God, or the Lord God. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name's, because God was protecting his own reputation, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. Now, what is it that God would do? Well, some people say that Israel today is not the fulfillment of these promises by Ezekiel and by the other prophets, that the Jewish people would be brought back to the land, because the Jewish people who have been brought back to the land, again, about 7.6 million right now, those people do not believe in Jesus for the most part, although I can tell you about 20, 25,000 do. So, you know, it's not nobody. So, but for the most part, they don't believe in Jesus, and for the most part, they're not religiously Jewish. For the most part, they're secular. And all that's true. And when somebody says that to me, and then, of course, it gets a little nasty at times, and then they say, and look at the way they treat the Palestinians. So the Israelis are morally bankrupt and therefore do not have a right to the land. And so when someone says that to me, and oftentimes it's a Christian brother or sister, I say, well, all you have to do is go spend a day in Israel, and you know that you know that it's a secular country. I mean, it's New York with subtitles, you know, in Hebrew. So of course it is. But that's exactly why I believe that it is the fulfillment of prophecy. The fulfillment of the prophecy for bringing the Jewish people back to the land is that in this first wave, that they would be brought back to the land in unbelief. Unbelief. That's the whole point. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. No dispute on land ownership from God's perspective through the mouth of the prophet. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. He's going to take them and has taken the Jewish people in unbelief and brought them back to the land of Israel in order to accomplish his holy purposes, part of which is to, once again, glorify his name. God wants to glorify his name. He wants us to glorify his name. It means we have to behave a certain way. We have to live what we believe. And when we don't, then we're not glorifying God's name. There are national implications for the Jewish people when disobeying the word of God and not keeping God's law, because God said in his own law that Jewish people, Israel, would be judged by dispersion. Now, God has every right, because of what he said, what he promised, to leave Israel in unbelief in the land of the Gentiles. But he didn't do that. In fact, he brought them out back to the land of Israel in unbelief, and that was supposed to shake the Gentiles up. I don't know if it worked. Maybe with a few people. But it was supposed to amaze or stun the Gentiles, the non-believers, particularly among the Gentiles, to see that God, and this is important because it teaches you about the nature of God. Number one, he keeps his promises. And number two, he loves those often who do not love him back. You know, when I went to Bible college, I was a new believer, like 6 months old in the Lord. It was a great Bible college. It was traditionally certain theological views. And one of those views was there was no grace in the Old Testament. No grace in the Old Testament. Maybe you've never heard that view. There is grace all over the Old Testament because God is all over the Old Testament, and God's nature and character doesn't change from one testament to another. The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, because it fulfills the promises of God and Israel doesn't deserve it, is one of the most glorious portraits of grace. that you would ever find. And God did it because he promised, and he never, ever breaks a promise. He's powerful, he's loyal, he's faithful, and he's gracious. And he brought the land, he brought the Jewish people back to the land in unbelief, but that's not the end of the story. Then we go to stage two. Stage two is what I call spiritual regeneration. Regeneration is the word we usually translate as born again. Will a nation be born in a day? Yes, it's the promise, but it hasn't happened yet. I can assure you that. So I was just there. And one of the experiences I had, and I'll share a little bit more about this in Sunday school, is I went out Saturday night after the Sabbath was over to Hostage Square and to a place in downtown Tel Aviv where probably 75 to 100,000 were protesting the government. Because, you know, this it's mixed. You know, there are political issues, but at the bottom of all these political issues really was, you failed us. They got in, they killed us, and there are hostages out there, and we can't get them back. And we're grieving, and we're angry, and we're mad, you know? And that's at the heart of it, really. And so I was there watching all of this, and it was heartbreaking. I wish you all could have been there. Mothers and fathers at Hostage Square screaming at the top of the lungs, bring our children back now, now. And it was heartbreaking. And I didn't know PTSD was catching. I caught a case of it just by being there. And it was just unbelievable to see it. The Jewish people are yearning for redemption. And redemption will come. But redemption will come God's way. And it's not going to be political redemption. It's going to be a spiritual redemption. Look at the text, verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Hasn't happened yet. Moreover, I'll give you a new heart and put a new heart with it, new spirit within you. Remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll be careful to observe my ordinances. I mean, just if you were sharing the gospel with a friend, and one day they came over to visit you and say, hey, something happened to me. And you say, what was it? He says, I used to want to sin, and I don't want to sin anymore. Well, what do you want to do? I just want to read the Bible. And what would you say happened to them? It's the same thing that's going to happen to the Jewish people. They're going to have a new heart. The Spirit will be put into them. They'll be cleansed, forgiven, and they will obey God from the inside out. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, we have that great promise of a new covenant, where God says that he will remove sin from their lives, forgiveness, and fill them and put the law in their hearts. Not on tablets, but inside. Now, good news, Gentile brothers and sisters, you got that promise yourselves. It's repeated in the book of Hebrews, and so you can claim it. It's all yours. We'll leave the biblical interpretation to the experts. But you know it happened to you. Happened to me. I remember the morning after I got saved 54 years ago. I was a hippie living in San Francisco, doing drugs, selling drugs. I was such a bad Jewish boy, you know? And I remember, you know, so I gave my heart to the Lord. Long story, you've heard it before. You can go to ifoundshalom.com, look up my name. We have 100 Messianic Jewish testimonies there. Wonderfully done. Pick one out, send it to a friend. And it's really great. But anyway, you'll hear my whole testimony. But it was the morning after that really, I'll never forget. where I got up and, you know, Satan's so good at his job, you know. Unfortunately, he's a failure, but he's good at his job, you know. And so I got up that first morning, and it was like I went to the sin mall, you know what I mean? You know, like everything was, everything that I would normally want was like there within an hour, you know? And I was repulsed by it all, just repulsed. And I thought to myself, wow, it's not that I have more self-discipline to say no, it's that I don't want to do that. I just want to love the Lord. I've been forgiven. I want to study the Word of God, which I have been studying and continue to study. And so I was transformed from the inside out. That's what's going to happen to Israel. It's not just that they're going to get the land. They're going to get the Lord. And that's what's coming. Look when it happens. It's future. It's future. In that day, I'll set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, Zechariah writes. And then, unfortunately, I don't think I had the rest. Is the rest of it there? No. Mind if I read it? So, the day is coming when the Lord will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. So, listen. If you want to know where we are, just ask yourself this question. Is Israel, the Jewish people, back in the land? Yes or no? Is there any chance that Israel's surrounded by hostile nations? What do you think? We don't have to vote? Okay. So, who is the greatest enemy of those nations? God. God's offended. God will take up the cause of the Jewish people. So God will do that one day when the Jewish people are back in the land. You see, this can't happen unless Israel's back in the land in unbelief. Then it happens. Ezekiel 37 is a great illustration of chapter 36, them bones, them bones, them dry bones. I'm not going to dance and sing, though. Okay, but in them bones, them dry bones, the Spirit of God comes upon the Jewish people when they are in the land. It's when they're in the land. Let me read verse 10 of Zechariah. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. So when in the land, when surrounded by enemies, God will not allow them to be destroyed. Rather than be destroyed, God will pour out his spirit upon the Jewish people. The Jewish people will turn to the one whom they have pierced, and they will embrace Jesus as Savior and Lord, repenting of their sins. In other words, the nation, individually, one at a time, but the nation will get saved. And when the nation gets saved, then they are transformed. Look at, I don't have it in my PowerPoint, but you have your Bibles. So look at Zechariah 13, verse 1. In that day, a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for impurity. The hymn writer had it completely right. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. There's no other way to be right with God except through Jesus the Messiah. And Jewish people will find that out in that day coming. Some Jewish people are finding out right now. I did. And there's a growing remnant of believers in Israel. It's exciting. You'll hear all about it in Sunday school. But we're looking for the whole enchilada, you know? And that day is coming. Chapter 14, verses 2 and 3 are also interesting. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city will be captured, houses plundered, the women ravished, half the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Verse 3, so lots of trauma. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fights on a day of battle. Look at verse 4. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west to a very large, by a large valley, so that half of the mountain will move to the north, the other to the south, and so on. When the Jewish people turn to Jesus in the last days, then Jesus returns. That's what the Bible says. In fact, that was a great passage of scripture that Pastor Jay selected today to read, because that doxology at the end of Romans chapter 11, you ever ask yourself, why is he breaking forth in that spectacular doxology? He's breaking forth with the doxology because of what happened before, what was predicted before. Romans 11, verse 25, and in that day, all Israel will be saved. Zechariah says, they will look to him whom they have pierced. Brothers and sisters, the day is coming when the Jewish people will turn to Jesus, and Jesus will return and reign as king, and all those promises will be fulfilled. But the first stage is that Jewish people had to be in the land in unbelief. You can tick that box. It's happened. And now we're waiting for the rest. But it's not quite the end of it. Not quite the end. There's a third stage. And that's national physical restoration. And if you've ever been to Israel and seen the architecture in Tel Aviv, it definitely needs a restoration. It's very modern. Very modern. Jerusalem is magical. Tel Aviv is confusing. But Tel Aviv has twice the number of Jewish people as Jerusalem. But look at verse 28 of 36. You'll live in the land that I give to your fathers, forefathers, so you will be my people and I will be your God. I love that. What a promise. I can't believe it. One day, my people will be back in a proper relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I live for that day. Verse 30, it will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field so that you will not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Famine among the nations was one of the judgments upon the Jewish people for disobedience that you can read about in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. The two chapters in the five books of Moses that talk in detail about these blessings and curses. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. And then in verses 33 through 35, thus says the Lord God, on that day I will cleanse you from all your iniquities. I will cause the cities to be inhabited, the waste places to be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passes by. For some of you who have been to Israel, and I know I've been on a lot of tours with people. I usually don't go to tour. I go to do my work, but I go on tours. And everybody gets really excited by the Jordan Valley and some other places because, you know, in the dry, dusty desert, we see green grass growing and fruit trees and all that. Well, what I can tell you is you ain't seen nothing yet. That's just the beginning. And that's actually what man could do. Wait till you see what God can do. And so they will say, the desolate land, I love this, has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste, desolate, and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. I mean, wow. The day is coming when God will turn the hearts of the Jewish people to Jesus, his son, and Jesus will return and reign as king, and the curse will be lifted. The curse of sin will be lifted. It's almost as if Ezekiel was reading Romans chapter 8, huh? Or maybe Paul was. So in that day, the curse will be lifted. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters fill the sea. There will be peace. There will be harmony because the Prince of Peace will reign on his rightful throne. And the blessings will not be just for the Jewish people. It will be for everybody. And that day is coming. But it begins with the Jewish people being brought back to the land in unbelief. So let me ask you a question. How long will it be? How long will it be? Should we go about the normal course of our everyday lives, which are very complicated and filled with all sorts of things, I know. Mine is too. But you know, we have to raise our heads and our minds and our hearts above it all, because the church is a futuristic people. We are looking towards the future. We are a people filled with hope. I preached to about 70 young people last Friday night who were gathered at our rented center, because we're building a new one because we're out of space in Tel Aviv. And I preached on the Hebrew word tikvah, which means hope, because people are losing hope, even in our own country. But when we look towards the future and we remember what God's going to do, then we have hope. We have something to hang on to, don't we? Because he is coming. So if I were you, I'd just spend all my IRA money, give it to your grandchildren now. Because we're getting closer and closer and closer. Would you take out your Chosen People brochure? If you have it, this is called the tradition of the tearing of the brochure. It's really a lot of fun. You fold it along the perforation. At the count of three, in Hebrew, we're all going to rip at the same time. Ready? Count with me. Count after me. In Hebrew. In Hebrew. Okay. Listen, he's coming soon. If you're going to want to talk to Jesus, you have to learn Hebrew. Okay, so let's give it a try. So here we go. Echad. Perfect. That was the hard one. Shtayim. Shalosh. Rip. Okay. Some of you need to go to ripping school. If you didn't get one of these brochures, they're on the table. Now here's what you do. Take this brochure, read it, enjoy it, and pray for us. Take this part of this slip and fill it out. If some of you have an ancient writing implement like a pen or a pencil, you can do that. If not, flip it over. Where is it? There's a QR code on there somewhere. Ah, yeah, right there. It's a QR code, so you can use that. Okay? But if you turn this in at the book table, then you can get a free copy of my book, Isaiah 53 Explained. If not, you can pay for it. It's not that expensive. But we've got Isaiah 53 Explained, and I will tell you a little bit about how God is using this book in Hebrew at Sunday school. Israel, the church in the Middle East, that goes into more depth on all of this. And if you'd like to know a little bit more, and remember October 7th with us, part of the problem with all of the politics surrounding what's going on in Israel is that people have forgotten what happened on October 7th, 2023. And so, there you go. It's right there. And so, thanks. I can tell from your smiles and from your face that you support and love the Jewish people, and that you rejoice, at least in the beginning, of hostages being released. Let's continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God promises they will prosper who love thee. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for all the good things that you have promised in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to your word and that we never have to doubt whether or not you're going to keep your word. Lord, sometimes it seems unbelievable that you're going to keep your word. I imagine what brothers and sisters, even at this church, would have thought about in 1946 or 1947 or 1945. But yet, Lord, in 1948, you brought your people back as you promised. And now, Lord, I pray that you continue to undertake for the three hostages. Lord, care for them, love them, heal them. Pray for the families who are still waiting for their loved ones. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to give hope to the Jewish people by turning the Jewish people in Israel and everywhere else to the one who is the embodiment of hope, even our Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.
Our God is a good and faithful God. Let's praise him together as we sing. Please stand.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
We'll close with the Aaronic benediction from Numbers chapter 6. First, I'll chant it in Hebrew, and then I'll translate it, and then we'll be dismissed. Would you bow with me? Yivrech Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'nav alecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav alecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
I hope so.
You know, sometimes I think people, I mean, the fact that he had one term is helpful, you know, because he's got a feel for it.